associate. He's work. Oh, sorry, something happened here.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. So Robert Haggerty, my associate, he could talk a little bit about some of the plans that we are proposing as far as campgrounds, some of our plans to mitigate the impact of traffic in the area, busing and whatnot. But I'll let turn it over to Robert, let him talk about that piece of the plan, and then we could probably finish up with emergency services.
Good morning, everybody. Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for everybody being on. Jason, let's see, stand by. Kim, can you pull up the traffic plan that Jason had sent you for Purgatory and Wet?
Yes.
I don't know. Yes. Let's see. Let me see how I can share this, guys. Okay, it's still not letting me share.
What plan were you wanting me to pull up?
Purgatory and Wet layout.
Okay.
Get this shared. Let me see. Yeah, disabled. Let me
see. Sorry, I'm trying to find it here.
No worries. Or if you allow me to share it.
Yeah, I can do that. Try it now.
Share screen. Beautiful.
Okay, there it is.
Perfect. Yeah, there we go. One of the biggest challenges that we would have are, where are we going to put everybody? So Brett's been working continuously on finding areas that we can host dry camping spaces as well as parking that's going to go with our shuttle services. And how do we get people off of Highway 12? That's the number one thing that I keep looking at, is how fast can we get traffic off of Highway 12 and keep everybody safe? We've staffed this enough with having enough staff, enough different entrances, where our goal is to not have traffic on Highway 12. We have four different areas of entrance to come onto the Purgatory River Campground. It's going to end up being on the north and then on the south, two different feeds. And we have, you know, as you guys will see here, on the far left of the screen for our bus shuttle lots, you know, we're going to have the law enforcement, brush trucks, EMTs, tents to work out of. So it's a mini city. And our whole job is to keep everybody safe 24/7. And by having these resources, as well as the security and a parking manager and a campground manager, we should be able to take care of that city on our own. With the help of law enforcement, or any suggestions that you folks may have on this. With the Highway 12, you'll see where I have three 48-inch by 48-inch signs, or VMS, flagger ahead, be prepared to stop. Awareness is going to be key in this on Highway 12. And if we can just get the people to slow down, hopefully we can keep this traffic flowing, everybody will pay attention, and we can get them into the lots. And then, Kevin, you'll see people, traffic directors, red on the road. Those people will be butterflying traffic, holding traffic up, so we can clear out the campground, the shuttles, without them just going on their own. Because if a shuttle just goes on their own, there's chances for incidences. So the more logistics, signs, people that we have, the better chances we can get this traffic flowing as designed. You'll see here we have 80 porta potties, 19 wash stations, 4 hydration stations. With the time of the year, the hydration is going to be really huge. That's going to narrow down our medical. And that's one of our keys, is how we're taking care of these people on these certain areas. We can go to wet campground. Okay, come on.
If you just scroll down or go to the next slide, slide 2 is that one, I believe.
Froze, Jace. No, let's see. Oh, come on. Technology, it's a fad. It's a fad. Come on. See if I can do this another way, folks. It's not letting me get to the next one, Jason.
It's okay. If Kim, I believe everybody has those maps and they can peruse them. It's similar layout to the map that Robert was just talking about. It's just the property. If I'm oriented correctly on the opposite side of the river. So you have the highway riverside. It's the one above it up the San Stephen Canyon.
Kim advance to the next slide.
Yeah, Kim could go to the next slide.
Yeah, she's running the screen.
I show that I'm on the next slide, but I don't think that you all. Let me try something here. Can you all see it now?
No. Now we see you.
Now we see me. Let's see. Share. How about now?
Yep.
That's it. Okay. You got it, Robert.
Yes, there we go. There we go. Wet Canyon Dry Camp and Park. It is 16 miles from Monument Lake Resort. However, once again, you'll see on the far left of the screen, where our far right, should I say, where the bus areas are, right in here, which is gonna keep it a little bit off of this main road. I'm also gonna have a bus area over to the left area, over to the left of the screen. Yeah, right here as well. And that is gonna be a key to getting everybody there, is these bus areas. Get them picked up, get them onto the road to the resort, and then back to these campgrounds. As you'll see, we have the same layout, just like we did on Purgatory. A camp manager, parking manager, 3 supervisors, parkers, flaggers. We'll also see up ahead, we have 2 more signs on the highway, 48 by 48, flagger ahead, be prepared to stop. The more signs we have, the better off we are. I'm all about signage, whether it be inside a venue, outside a venue, 15 miles out from a venue. The more we can get to the people, the more they're going to pay attention, the more they'll slow down, and we can get them to their areas safely. And that's our biggest thing right here, is how do we take care of the road? Same thing with down into the area, water trucks, to keep the dust down. That affects the area as well. Hydration stations. Once again, I'll go back to, we're creating little mini cities to accommodate these individuals off of the resort. So the more that we can give them the comfort, give them the porta potties, give them the food and beverage, hydration, Leo's, brush trucks, EMTs to respond as well. We got a really tight plan and we can keep people safe.
So Robert, this is David. Yes, sir. I have a quick question. So orientating to this map on Wet Canyon, there's no roads listed. So is the dotted line, is that the Wet Canyon Road? And is the solid gray line on the right, is that Highway 12?
Correct. This is Highway 12. And you'll see like where the red flagger is, the red dot, that's the flagger that'll flag people in. Yep, right here.
Okay. And then we don't see any EMTs listed at the dry camp spot.
Correct. I'm going to be posting them once I do a number and get our final numbers. Okay. So you can basically state that it's going to be the same as the purgatory.
Okay.
And too, this is Brett, I don't want to try to throw a curveball in here, but I just want to make sure that we have transparency. This is a bit of a moving target as well, because what we're continuing to try to do is better our position closer to even Stonewall. So the closer, this is one of the further, this is a 16 miles away. Now, of course, the Purgatory River Campground, it's 11 miles from the resort, which, saves on shuttle time, saves on, it's just that much less highway we've got to deal with. So we're trying to trim that down. This is probably at this point, and I hadn't got a chance to talk to Robert and Jason since a day or so ago, but yesterday that we secured some more campground just right down the road from the Purgatory campground, which was given by the Barnai and Bill Topol, who's just next door, gave us some property that he said we were welcome to use, which cuts down, that shaves 5 miles off that shuttle run, which is what I'm trying to accomplish. The closer we can get to Stonewall and the resort, the better off we are. I've been really working hard on getting some ranches and whatnot, right here in the Stonewall area to give us some parking space even to alleviate some of that long distance, the shuttle distances as well. But haven't had a ton of luck right here, just immediately in the Stonewall area. And I want to make it a community thing. This is, we're trying to bring exposure not only to Monument Lake Resort, but to all the other commerce in the Stonewall area. So like I said, not trying to throw any curveballs in here, but we are continuing to try to better our position as far as transportation goes.
Captain, I didn't catch your last name. This is Jason Weisner.
It's Detray,
Captain Detray. So one thing maybe we could consider doing, just listening to the conversation play out, is put together like a first responder staging area, maybe splitting the distance between the different campgrounds if we do move further up Highway 12 closer to the resort, and just have those resources staged in the area so that they can respond to the various camping sites if need be. So it's cut down on that response time. And it's kind of splitting that distance between the two if we move up into that Bar HL area.
No, and I think that's fine. I was going to wait. I have some other questions that I figured we'll do for emergency services.
Sounds great. Robert, did you have anything else on the kind of first draft of the camping, parking, and RV sites?
Like Brett has said, this is a moving target, and sure, we're working on this every week, and we'll keep everyone posted on some changes, the new areas, how we'll do the layout, and we'll just keep everybody abreast on that. We appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Kim, you could probably take that slide down. Are you ready for me to move on to emergency services?
Yes.
All right. So first of all, I want to thank everybody for being here. Just a little bit of background about myself. I have 26 years in law enforcement. Most recently, I'm a captain responsible for our support and events unit at Colorado State University. And I do also run a consulting business and have had some national exposure on the event management, public safety side of things. That being said, what I really want to drive home here is that this is really a collaborative effort. Nobody with the concert promotion is trying to come in and suggest that we know everything. Far from it. We really want to collaborate with you all and make this a successful event for your community and be able to successfully host this in a safe and prudent manner. So really, that's the hope of this meeting, at least from my side of it, is just to have that collaboration. There's a lot of things I don't know. You know, I'm not familiar with your area, your resources. I put together a draft event management or emergency management plan. I believe you all have that. I think I called it an event action plan. And again, that's a working draft. It's far from finalized. We're a ways out. And as we learn more, I'll be updating that. I guess I'll start. Did anybody have any questions about that EAP that was sent out?
So Kim, if you could forward that to me as well, ddetray@tadems.com.
And Kim, I don't know, this is Darren. I don't know how much Tony's going to be involved, but if you could go ahead and send me that also, I'd appreciate it.
I can do that.
Thank you.
And Kim, while you're sending those, it's a very basic all hazards plan, just for the gentleman asking the question. It's kind of encompassing all of the components of the first responders and trying to organize things. So one thing that we're prepared to do on our side of things is provide a unified command structure under, you know, the NIMS unified command system. We'll be providing a Class A RV and also a mobile command post. We'll be bringing our own radio infrastructure and radio repeaters to the area so that we'll have good, reliable communications. I'd like to talk a little bit about when y'all are ready to move on to that, what that structure might look like. But really what I'm looking for is to have somebody from fire, law enforcement, EMS, those government partners and decision makers involved in that unified command system and structure, and to have somebody on site to the largest degree possible through the event during the times where we have people on the property and the events in full swing. That way we're doing real-time deconfliction and making sure that we're adequately resourced and, just cutting down on that telephone game. And I know communications can be a little bit of a problem up in the mountains, radio and otherwise. Does anybody have any questions about that unified command structure? And it's all basically a NIMS unified command system. We use it successfully every football season for CSU home football games. We have 7 law enforcement partners, fire, police, EMS, all working collectively together.
No, Jason, I think that unified command sounds great. I think that's probably the only way you're going to be able to pull that all off. In addition to that, so with the topography and everything, what type of radio system, and are you bringing in repeaters, or how is that going to work?
Yeah, we just contracted with a security company. I don't have like the make and model. I doubt they'll be compliant with the state 800 megahertz system. So we won't be able to necessarily talk to you in real time. If one of your law enforcement or EMS or fire partners want to give us an 800 megahertz radio just to have on site, we could have that. And I'm familiar with law enforcement radios. I use them every day. Somebody can give me a crash course and we could have that in there. But more importantly, what I'd like to have is a command level person from each entity there that can do that communication to their folks out in the field. The radios we are bringing in, I know they're a Motorola brand. It's probably similar to what you might see with like construction companies and things like that. They will have a mobile repeater that we are bringing in that I believe they're going to do a little testing. I think one of the places we looked at was the roof of the lodge, because the roof of the lodge has line of sight of all the areas that we would want to have comms for the venue. Did that answer your question about radios?
Yeah, I think so. I just think that obviously there's going to have to be some testing beforehand to make sure we're talking about 15 miles or 16 miles between sites and those type of things. Also, you're going to have limited cell phone coverage up there. So just something to think about throughout the organization to make sure that what you get is going to actually work.
Yeah, good point. And definitely the communication system sounds good till you, try to implement it and we'll see how it works. I'm pretty confident we can get the concert venue, line of sight, simplex type communications without any problems. Further down the canyon, that may or may not work. Another question I did have for the county government representatives is, do you have like a telephone authority or anything up there that has emergency cows? The cows are the mobile cell phone repeaters that you can put on site for natural disasters or large events or something to that effect.
So Jason, we, the district provided, or our cell phone is FirstNet. So I know they do that in disasters and large events. I don't know if it's going to meet the criteria for those cows for, obviously this type of event, but something we can reach out to and find out. But then obviously that's going to be the FirstNet and not everybody's going to be on there. But I think that's something that you're going to have to look into.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. We could look into that. And there's some private companies that provide that service. So we've talked a little bit about unified command, the NIM structure, communication challenges. Let me talk a little bit about where we're sitting with staffing right now. So I have had a conversation with Undersheriff Sans Stephen. Am I pronouncing that correctly? So we've already had a few conversations about law enforcement resourcing and needs, and we're working with him, and he's got a relationship with the city of Trinidad and some of the surrounding agencies to get us the law enforcement officers that we need. To that end, we're still going to need to supplement that with third-party security. So when I talk about security, it's more of event management staff. I don't want you to get the idea that these are armed folks, real hard, police looking, military looking. That's not the case. These are going to be, folks in khaki shirts, security polos, and they're really just going to be helping with crowd management and site management. And we're looking at about a total of somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, and that might creep up a little bit as we get closer security staffing needs. So that's one manager at our incident command post, two supervisors, 12 screeners, five at the stage, two supervisors, VIP, parking lot roamers, and various relief. Any questions about that security need? Are we missing anything there?
Jason, Sheriff Neverett. I know we've talked to you preliminary about some resources and the numbers you're going to need, but have they changed? Or at one point you had needed a set amount and we had talked about that. So if I can start looking at what numbers we're looking at, I could start checking with other departments and agencies around the Southeast region that are willing to help. I know you had a set number, but I don't know if we've ever gotten any further than that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sheriff. I'd be happy to, maybe we could have that conversation offline. It's kind of a moving target. And I really want to rely on your area of expertise on how to do redeploys and how to best utilize that workforce. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to have that conversation outside of the large group and work through that.
Yeah, that'd be great. And also, I'm not sure if the CDOT or CSP's on the call. I don't see them, but that is a huge component. We need to get involved That's going to impact the highway travel, and they're going to need to pull some resources. So I will reach out to the major of the district, and hopefully he can get involved in this process because it's going to need a lot of their input and resources as well.
So I forgot the captain's name up there in that area. I've already reached out to the captain of the State Patrol. I think he's based out of Pueblo. And had some preliminary conversations with him, and he has referred me to the Colorado State Patrol Special Events Division, and I'm already working on a traffic mitigation plan with Colorado State Patrol Special Events Unit and CDOT for that area that ultimately the captain and that major will see that finished product.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. So I think where we're at, that was kind of security. Pull my notes here. And Sheriff, the number that we were kicking around was 13. But again, I think there's some efficiencies there that we might be able to identify to make that number a little smaller and that we might be able to supplement with security. But I want to make sure that that's something that you're on board with before making any commitments.
Okay. Yeah, I think if we can pull from other agencies, ours is, as we've talked, we're a little bit limited, but we from among the area, I believe we can make that happen.
Perfect. Moving on, let's talk about emergency medical services. So what I had penciled in and what I would like to ask for, and again, this is very preliminary, we're still months out, was each day to have one EMS supervisor in the command post and three staffed ambulances. Again, looking at redeploying resources, kind of following the crowd. So those EMS ambulance resources, in my mind, along with fire, might be staged in the area of the campgrounds early in the morning. As the crowd starts to ingress into the venue, we might pull two of the three ambulances and have them staged more at the lake site and have one just, you know, as a relief, a rover. And that coverage roughly would last from 9 a.m. to midnight is what I was kind of penciling in. And that would, figuring there's, I assume a lot of your EMS have two to a rig. So that puts you in somewhere in the ballpark of 10 EMS staff per day. Is what we would ultimately be asking for. And again, if there's a more efficient way to do it, or if that's too little or not enough, we're certainly open to that conversation.
Well, just so you know, no different than the sheriff, our district, we only staff two ambulances per day per shift for our shift. So obviously that's going to tax our resources. So that was a question I had was, A, do you guys have any other event medical unit that's going to come in that we would work with, which it doesn't sound like that at this point. So obviously that's going to, I can't guarantee that we can supply that. And then also, then we'd have to probably an offline conversation talk about cost and that type of thing as well. Sure. Now, what we do have, what we can do, now, when you say three ambulances, are you looking for advanced life support or basic life support? Or,
you know, probably a mixture. And there'll be most of the stuff you're going to see there is BLS, needs, bumps, bruises, scrapes, you know, trips, falls, drunks, those sorts of a thing. But you could definitely, probably one of them should be an advanced life support. And again, and I needed to preface this earlier, you know, we're willing to pay all of the overtime, whatever your individual overtime rate is for all of your staff. That'll all, we'll take care of that. And we're willing to supplement whatever you might have difficulty staffing. So I was thinking like contacting AMR out of Denver or one of those private ambulance companies to see if they could come up and supplement for the event. But I wanted to have that conversation with you first. I didn't know if you had a preferred vendor that you have maybe worked with in the past or something to that degree, or maybe in an adjoining jurisdiction. We can have that conversation offline if you'd rather to work through that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some planning there. So yeah, I would definitely look forward to that offline conversation and talking to you about that, advising what we have and where we're at with that.
Okay.
The other thing is too, and I didn't see anything in there, but I think is imperative, especially at your camping areas. You got 2 plus the lake. So we're going to, I would hope that Kim and the county would require a sectioned off area for Flight for Life LZs at least those three areas. And if you add any additional camping areas, at least, or, you know, ahead of time, we map out some predetermined LZs for air ambulance as well. Because as you know, our hospital is a level 4. We have a level 4 in Walsenburg Trauma Center. And actually for Monument Lake, transport to Walsenburg is probably going to be, it's going to be right in the middle. So we have that option to go one way or the other, but resources that way. So if it's anything serious, then we're going to have to look at those air assets. Just to keep that in mind, but Kim, I would hope that in this planning and with you guys planning this, that would be a minimum of making sure that there's at least an LZ at every camping area. And then also we map out some predetermined LZs to work with that as well.
Yes, we can work on that.
Great point, Camps. I appreciate that. We did have some preliminary conversations. Do you know who is your air ambulance provider for the area and your primary and tertiary ones? And do you know what their requirements are? And I can work with you on that so that we can make sure that we're including that in our EAP. So we knew that was a need. We just didn't know. In our area, we actually have the pilots come out and do the site assessments. I'm not sure how or who your provider is or what their preference is.
Well, we can reach out to them. So we have UC Healthline, which we have a helicopter in Lahana, and now one in Pueblo. And then our primary is Flight for Life out of Pueblo. And then you go to the next two are going to be Springs, that will have UC Healthline and Flight for Life as well. So, but that's another thing that I'd be happy to work with you on and coordinate with to get those in people involved on that level.
Okay. And are you using Web EOC to manage those ambulance air assets to kind of know what's available, all of that?
No. So we do it through our dispatch center right now.
Okay.
And so that's going to be, obviously, availability is going to be, they're when we call for air assets, then they're going to call their dispatch. And then we have a protocol already in dispatch of how that works. And then obviously, depending on, obviously, we're going to try to get the closest asset. And then depending if those assets are busy, then we're reaching out farther to Springs and that sort of thing.
Roger that. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. But good point, and we'll make sure to account for that, those landing zones.
Jason, this is Under Sheriff San Esteban. We might, or you or I, one of somebody might need to reach out to dispatch because they do dispatch for pretty much every emergency services in our county, and they are shorthanded right now. So we may need to reach out to them about maybe getting extra people for this that weekend, because right now I think they run maybe one dispatcher sometimes. And of course, if all of us, depending if it's something that we're leaving the site, you're going to have multiple agencies calling into them, and they're definitely going to need that extra people as well.
And I did invite dispatch. They, like you said, they're short staffed, so they may be busy, but I will continue to include them on these meeting invites.
Undersheriff, who or Kim, who is your, is it a like a shared resource county dispatch, or is it through the sheriff's office, or who, what entity houses or is responsible for dispatch for your area?
It's through the Trinidad Police Department. And they don't, okay. Yes.
Got it. So they dispatch full county.
Jason, yes. The other
is too, and I definitely agree with Undersheriff. But I think with the unified command, we can take some relief off of that dispatch center too. So if it's run properly, then we can do air assets, everything else we can do through their dispatch. So we can also help that out. So I think moving forward, we should also think about that, knowing that that is a deficiency.
Okay, good to know. And the more that we can utilize NIMS Unified Command, it's been my experience, the better. And we are bringing our own dispatcher up for the venue folks too. So we'll have a dispatcher there. And in my mind, I see that kind of venue dispatch sitting next to whomever is defined. And maybe you hire a dispatcher on overtime for 3 days to sit in the command post and start working almost like a second console. Again, I don't know what kind of CAD assets you can remote into or what that looks like, but we can have those conversations. Absolutely. The more we can do there to take the pressure off of dispatch, the better. Any other questions about EMS before we move on to fire?
The one question I had is, what are your expectations of people at this event? I mean,
so good question. So we will have a fan behavior policy. We are going to do screening. We'll be doing metal detector screening with via hand wand. We're going to have a clear bag policy. It's been my experience, when you start having that better level of screening, everybody has to come through, get wanded, have their bag inspected, so they're not bringing their own alcohol, hard alcohol, that sort of stuff. Your fan behavior is greatly improved. You have fewer incidents inside the venue. At the venue site itself, we want to stand up a first aid tent. I don't know, and I need to work with you, Captain DeFray, on that, about what your expectations are for that. Can that be staffed by volunteers, the Red Cross, the Ski Patrol, something like that? These are your walking wounded, I need a Band-Aid, I need this, I need that. They don't need transport per se. That was one thought I had to kind of cut down on that. But yeah, we expect a lot in the way of fan behavior. We're not going to tolerate disrespectful, belligerent fans. They'll be 86 from the property. That's sort of a stance.
No, what I mean, the expectation of how many people you're expecting at this event over the 3 days. So
Roger that.
So that's more what I was looking for.
Brett, do you want to take on that question about, you know, ticket sales and kind of what your best case scenario is for the event?
I think, you know, I mean, we're expecting anywhere in the 7,000 to 10,000 occupant range. Now it may be 4,000, maybe 3,000. I mean, it's a first year, so it's hard to say. But our expectation, what we're gearing up for, is in that 7,000 to 10,000.
So, any other questions, EMS?
No comment. Well, we're looking at basically just a little bit less of what resides in Los Angeles County for a 3-day event. So obviously look forward to seeing what else you guys bring forward and seeing how we can help you.
Yeah, it's going to be a heavy lift, but I think, boy, if we're able to successfully pull this off, it'll be a really cool event and really be a boon for the local economy too, is our hope for everybody.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you know, that's not, of course, we're, you know, we'd like the local community to come out and whatnot, as they always do, but we're also reaching out into other parts of the country, you know, specifically putting an emphasis, you know, from the, say, Cheyenne, Wyoming, down to the Dallas area. The type of music and genre music that we're promoting here, and the artists that are already on board and coming, they have a large presence in that, you know, it's kind of that Texas red dirt type genre of music. So we're going to be pulling a lot of people out of Texas. But I've also learned, Robert and I, we went to like Mile Zero Fest just to see things. We have a gal that helps run that festival working for us. And, you know, you're down in the furthest south point of Florida, and you've got people from every state in the country that came down to that festival. And that's what we're going after. Well, you know, we're going after more exposure to the area and that type of thing too. So it's going to be a pretty wide reach, you know, from our standpoint, as far as bringing new people into the area for the event. So.
Do we have a representative of the fire department on the call? Kim, is there anybody from fire?
Hey, this is Dave Backrack. I'm the city fire chief.
Oh, perfect.
But John Jenkins, Chief Jenkins up at Stonewall, that's kind of in his district. I know Monument Lake is city property, but I would be supporting any efforts that he needs pretty much.
Okay. And just our preliminary, you know, risk assessment. You know, obviously, two of the biggest issues we see from the environmental threat is thunderstorms and wildfires, right? Thunderstorms are likely in that window, and we have some plans we're still working through on how to best deal with that. The idea of sheltering 10,000 people indoors is not going to work out real well, but we're still working through how that'll flesh out. But one thing we were hoping we could have as part of our comprehensive public safety planning is a couple brush trucks at the resort and or at that staging area for the campgrounds. We want to get right on top of any reports of smoke. And it's my advice that we not have any open flames permitted at any of the venues, i.e. the campground or the concert venue at the lake.
Right. And we'll go right along with the way, you know, our requirements at the resort as it is now. You know, we have fireboxes, a lot of fireboxes out of there for campsites and whatnot. You know, unless there's a, you know, higher level fire ban where they're just absolutely can't have fires. The only fires that would be permitted are the fires in the fireboxes. Other than that, no open fires, no open flames.
Chief, put the fire, did that sound good to you? Is that
a good place to start? I think that's fine. And then I met with your maintenance guys up there a few months ago. We just need to get kind of those things cleaned up in the hotel portion before this thing goes down, actually before you open up this season. So get with your staff and we'll get those cleaned up.
Get what cleaned up again, sir?
So you had some maintenance items. You had some emergency lighting in your hotels, carbon monoxide detectors, some electrical stuff that they needed to get cleaned up there.
Right. Yeah, we're currently working on that right now. So okay. Yeah, that'll all be taken care of before season.
And then I'm working with Gil. We're going to run up and check those hydrants and make sure the flow is good on all those hydrants up there. Probably April or May, whenever he tells me it's good that we can check them.
Sounds great. Yeah.
All right. So, and we'll continue as this evolves to, you know, please feel free to reach out to myself or any of my partners, fire, police, EMS, any public safety folks, Kim, so that we can be responsive to your needs, make sure we're accounting for any of your concerns. Tow trucks, I think it would be wise to have a couple tow trucks in that staging area and one at the resort. You know, jump starts, if something stalls out in the road, we need to get it out quickly. You know, do you have, who's your tow provider in that area?
There is that's for the government agencies through, for us anyway, at the sheriff's office, and the police department, it's just dispatch has a list of the privately owned companies and that's who they go with.
Could we potentially reach out to them and see if they would want to? There's a couple of ways I'm familiar with doing it. One, we just pay them for the day to be there in standby mode. or two, there's a likelihood that they'll be in the area and be the first to get the tows. I'm not sure how that works out, but not a huge issue, but it would probably be wise to have those resources a little closer than coming all the way from town.
Okay, we can see about that.
And then one other thing I wanted to just put this out there. So I teach a class. I'm part of a group called the National Center for Sports Spectator Safety. It's a FEMA-backed outfit out of the University of Southern Mississippi. So I teach nationally a class called AWR 167, which is risk management and awareness for special events. So this very sort of a thing. If it would be useful to the group, I'm willing to come up and this is kind of what I envision, just doing a real brief overview of risk management for large events. And then like doing that, maybe we have a light breakfast, kind of go over some of those high points. I mean, this is just a review of things that you already know and how they apply to special events. And then maybe have lunch. And then the second half of the day, do tabletop exercises for our likely threats. In my mind, thunderstorms, fires, and whatever you all think are most likely threats that we can encounter, and maybe run some tabletop exercises as part of the planning portion of this, doing a training and tabletops. Does that sound like something that this group would be interested in doing?
I would definitely be interested in it.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe Kim could kind of coordinate that and get that set up.
I'd be glad to help with that. I think it'd be a good idea.
And there'd be no cost to any of the government partners involved with this. So we'll take care of it all on our end for that.
And two, on our side of it, as far as using the resort to do that, if you guys would like to do it up there, or if you guys have another space that you'd like to do it at, but of course, we'll make that available if you guys would like to come out and host that out there.
I think being up there would probably be better, so we can maybe do a tour and those that aren't familiar with the area can get familiarized with it, if that's possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to host it.
So Kim, we'll work with you on identifying a good time for that.
Okay.
And make sure that it doesn't conflict with any of the resort's operations, and we'll kind of dial that in here in the coming months. Happy to do it. I think it's a good idea. You know, we do similar things in our area here. We tabletop stuff. And then when it happens, it's like, man, we're glad we did that. Because, you know, it's always one of those things that it's definitely advantageous, I think, to get ahead of things. So, you know, really, that's kind of all I had for a high level overview of the public safety planning portion of this. Again, we're aware of some of the challenges. It sounds like staffing is going to be a bit of a challenge. Communication is a bit of a challenge. You know, we're prepared and willing to do whatever we need to do on our end to make that successful. So we can have those individual meetings. Kim, if you wouldn't mind, could you send myself, Brett, and Robert a list of the people that were involved in this meeting and their email addresses so that we can have those one-to-one conversations?
Yes, I will.
And then I'd just like to leave the floor to all of our government partners. And if anybody has any questions for either three of us, please, the floor is yours.
Hi, this is Bob Justa, Public Works Director. We're looking at your site plan. I'm sitting here with Steve Crow and Mark Fahil, and I heard the gentleman say he's planning 7,000 to 10,000, maybe 3,000. You don't really know what you're. Is that area going to accommodate that many people? I just a question in general. Or do you have an area for overflow? Just curiosity.
Yeah. So are you? Sorry. Go ahead, Brett.
Well, as far as the area goes, and maybe I should let Jason answer this, but you're talking the area on the resort or between all of between the resort and the remote areas that we have?
We're looking at the stage area, where the venue's going to be at, obviously where the people are going to want to see the concert.
Yeah.
So our crowd. Let's see. If I remember right, Brett, we did a crowd density and we came up with a square footage. I know like the best practices is at least 2 square feet per person. You know, I thought we were sitting at like 3 or 4, if I remember correctly. But.
So basically shoulder to shoulder is what you're looking at then, correct?
Well, four square feet per person wouldn't quite be shoulder to shoulder. Okay. It gives you a little bit of breathing room. You may not be able to spread out picnic blankets and, you know, it may not be that kind of atmosphere for your headliners. But keep in mind, a three-day music festival like this, it's unlikely you're going to have everybody there the entire time, right? They're coming to see this band and that band, and they'll be milling around the property. Your headlining acts could get a pretty good crowd density in there. Again, and we certainly happy to sit down with you and look at that. But, you know, what we would like to get to is, you know, that three foot per square person maximum.
I thought we had, Robert, whenever you looked at initially, that we had more space than that was. Am I correct in that? You're muted, Robert.
And for crowd surge, we do have emergency exits built into that too. So we could just cut snow fence or whatever sort of perimeter control we have, bicycle barricade, snow fence. We'll have places identified for relief valves where we can open that up should we have a crowd surge situation.
The layout of this venue, Jason and I took the same layout that we have used up at Colorado State University for a Lee Brice concert, a Macklemore concert, which is almost identical within our square footage. And that's one of the reasons we're comfortable with our number as well, of what we can put into that square footage, because we've been there before. We've had it operate. We've had, you know, emergency situations. We've addressed them through our vents or emergency exits and just the way everybody is staged. So we've done this plan before, actual live real time at the university, and it worked, and we wanted to keep going along with that same format.
Did we answer your question?
Yes, sir, I was just curiosity more than anything.
Okay, yeah, and again, I had those same concerns too. Looking at it from a Google map, it kind of gives you the impression it's fairly tight in there. Some of those concerns were alleviated when I went and walked the property and got a real appreciation for the size and scope of it. So, and again, it's been my experience, these music festivals, not everybody's in there all day, every day for 3 days. They come, they go. And they see the bands and the acts that they really wanted to come and see. So,
Robert, this question's for you. My name is Marty Hackett. I'm the event coordinator for the city of Trinidad. I was looking at your mapping and stuff, and one of the concerns that I saw that you don't have identified is dump stations for RV vehicles. I know you have porta potties and that sort of thing, but how are we addressing dump for RVs?
We're working through that at this point right now with Brett. Like we said, this is a moving target. We'll identify areas that do have dumping so people are not dumping on the side of the road. That is a main concern for me as well.
Thank you.
And to these remote, you know, one of the, you know, avenues I want to take on it is we're really promoting tent camping in these areas both. And of course we're not creating any more spaces on the resort for RV parking than we already have. So we can on resort, we can handle the dump, both partial and of course full hookups in the remote areas. You know, we're promoting that as a non-dump, you know, basically a, you know, there's no dumping on site. So people going into that, whenever, if they buy a package or buy a ticket to camp off site, they're going into that with full knowledge that it's not with full knowledge that it's not going to be, there's not going to be any dump sites on site.
Thank you, Brett.
I do have a question. Does the city of Trinidad, do they have some dump sites there as people egress out to the interstate?
The only one that I'm aware of at this time is the one at Trinidad Lake State Park. I am looking into other areas. We may have other locations that have dump stations, but not at that I'm currently aware of.
Okay. Thank you.
Jason, Undersheriff Santa Steve again. I may have missed it, but I guess what is the max capacity for the area? I don't know if that was ever said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see this exceeding 10,000. I think that is the ultimate most that we can safely get in there at one time. I think that's kind of what we're looking at. And after the first year, maybe we can find that we could accommodate more, or maybe we could find that we can accommodate less, but kind of where we zeroed in on right now is that 10K. Is that what your understanding is, Brett, as well with your ticketing folks?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, you're working with on resort, you're working with basically, you know, over 360 acres of property. For the actual where the event is going to be, I believe that we had actually, with spacing in there, we figured that you could fit 20,000 people. We'll never reach that number, even come close to it, but that's how we landed at the 10,000 mark. Again, first year festival, are we going to get 10,000 people, you know, to even come out for it? It's hard to say. I mean, there's absolutely no way to scale that, but that's what we were prepared for.
Okay, thank you.
I came to the meeting a little bit late, but I work for the health department. I'd be interested in knowing how are you providing food? Are you going to have vendors other than just the resort?
Brett, do you want to take that?
Yep, absolutely. We're going to try to get a lot of different vendors involved. Starting with local restaurants and food establishments that have food trailers or food trucks, and working our way out from there, using the gals like from the fire auxiliary. I have a meeting with them on Sunday, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to stick around and meet with them to see if they would like to put their food trailer out there. We're going to start from within and work our way out. But yes, we absolutely have to have food vendors involved.
No, that's great. We have an event coordinator packet and also temp event vendor packets that will need to be completed by anybody that's going to serve food there. So I wasn't sure if you were just going to use the resort. Doesn't sound like with that volume of people that you would have enough. That wouldn't be enough. So I figured there was going to be something. So I think we'll be in touch regarding that going forward. Thanks.
Absolutely. Yep.
And Robin, one other thing you might be interested in too, we will be providing free water stations too, like water bottle refill stations for folks so that they have access to water at the venue when they're there throughout the day.
Yeah, yes, that would be a concern. And again, I think it was Marty that mentioned it. Sewage disposal would be a big thing, how that's gonna be addressed. But if you're only gonna have the enough campers or campers that just meet the number of spaces that you already have there, that's what that dump station that's there is designed for, is that kind of dumping. So hopefully we wouldn't need anything more than that, but we could kind of consider maybe talking with one of our pumpers here that could potentially come up and maybe pump if needed, if there was, you know, the capacity just merited it.
Yeah, Robin, on site there, we won't go over our capacity of RVs. We're gonna stay true to that. Like I said, in the remote camping areas, we're making a strong push to promote that as no dump station on site. So if people do want to bring a small RV, they need to be prepared to, you know, come in, you know, full of water and leave, you know, full of, you know, with the waste on. And and then beyond that, like I said, the tent camping is what we're really making a big push on. And I guess I should mention as well that we've, you know, of course we're using, you know, Stonewall, like shopping bag, their RV park, Stonewall Lodge, their RV park, which do have full dumps. We have packaged those spaces as some remote spaces for RVs. So they'll be able, those RVs will be able to dump on their sites.
Okay, no, that's really good to hear. I figured you had a plan for that, but it's always worth mentioning.
Yep.
So Kim, we're coming up on our hour and I just want to be respectful of everybody's time. Again, I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to meet with us. And again, this is the first of many conversations. Kim, I really appreciate you coordinating this and pulling us all together. Is there any other questions for us? I did have one other question for the government partners about, is there anybody from County Road and Bridge on the call?
The administrator was on, but I can get them to either give you a call or jump on the next meeting if we're having another meeting.
Or maybe you could just track it down. I'm just looking to see if the county has any variable messaging boards that we could utilize.
We do have one.
Okay, cool.
And if we need to, we can probably borrow some from neighboring counties. If we needed to, we can reach out for that resource.
Okay, excellent.
There's also the availability, Jason, of maybe CDOT or Colorado State Patrol.
And I'll talk with them when I have that meeting about the traffic mitigation plan. And I'll ask them about that too. And they did say that we could use flaggers in lieu of troopers in some areas, which will be a little easier to staff. So that's great. Excellent. Well, Kim, Brett, everybody on the call, thank you all for your time and attention. And I'll be making those follow-up phone calls hopefully next week with those other partners. So,
Jason, do you feel the need to have another meeting like this or just set up the class and the tabletops?
Yeah, I think right now we need to have those one-off conversations and work through those specific partners we've identified. And I'll kind of leave it to you, Kim. At some point, it might be good to bring this group back together as this evolves. Again, we're still, I mean, it's, you know, only March. So we've got a little bit of time and we're going to have some changes and some things that we didn't expect pop up and that we'll need to work through. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll have a larger group meeting, but I think for at least the short term, let's just work on those smaller group meetings.
Okay, I'll follow your lead. Just let me know what you need.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, everyone, for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you.